In Iraq, Saddam Hussein's regime was obsessed with spying on its citizens. When the U.S. military invaded 7 years ago, it confiscated millions of documents detailing this activity. Some Iraqis say those documents hold the key to national reconciliation and the U.S. should return them. Others warn that Iraq may not be ready to unlock these secrets. NPR's Peter Kenyon recently returned from Baghdad and has this report.
46-year-old Riyad al-Rubai has a vivid memory from 2003. As the Iraqi government vanished, people scrambled to loot the files of Saddam's secret police from various offices tucked around Baghdad. In one, he came across a man standing stock still amid the chaos, a file in one hand, tears streaming down his face.
He just kept sobbing. Is it possible? Is it possible? He was holding the file of his brother, a member of the Communist Party, who was arrested in 1979. And he'd just learned that the people who had informed on his brother, the people who got him executed, were his own cousin and brother-in-law.
Growing up in a tough neighborhood of Sadr City, Rubai thought of himself as an Iraqi and a Muslim and a supporter of Saddam Hussein. But after fighting for his country in the war against Iran, Rubai came back to find Saddam had jailed, tortured, and killed many Iraqis at home. He started to become politicized. He took part in one anti-Saddam demonstration, and he and his friends would gather at night and talk about what they'd like to do to the Ba'athists if they ever got the chance. Then, without warning, the secret police raids began. His friends were arrested, and he only just escaped with his uncle. Years later, he realized how the regime had ferreted out his barely formed political views. A prominent Ba'athist had been using his sisters to glean information from the women and children in the neighborhood.
They'd go to a wedding and chat with all the women. The same for funerals. You might see them by the front gate all day, watching who goes where and who's talking with whom.
Much of the paper trail from Saddam's decades of spying was badly damaged in the post-invasion looting, and millions of documents were spirited away to the U.S., where they remain. A slender, soft-spoken Iraqi named Saad Iskander is trying to change that. Iskander is the director of the Iraqi National Library and Archives. Last month, he showed a reporter around his aging facility and the new modern building being constructed next door. He has a young staff of restorers trained in the latest conservation techniques from Europe. They're painstakingly freezing, drying, and restoring documents, in this case from the Ottoman era. The archives are also being digitized and made available on the Internet. Iskander's quiet librarian's demeanor hides a fierce belief in the power of information to imprison a society or free it.
So it's from a closed society to an open society. This is our slogan.
I can see how this would make some people from the Ba'ath Party a little nervous.
Yes, not only the Ba'ath Party, all the extremists from the left and the right is not happy about this, I would call it a democratization of information.
Iskander says it's crucial to retrieve the spy files as soon as possible because it will take years for Iraq to recover from the effects of a spying operation of staggering pervasion and brutality.
You are spied on by your neighbors, by your work colleagues, by your fellow students at university. Every Iraq was spied on. Even those who were part of the regime and had close links to the regime. So the leaders of the regime lived in permanent paranoia.
Perhaps understandably, Iskander says there has never been a dictatorship like Saddam's. But other countries might dispute that. The Oscar-winning 2007 film, The Lives of Others, explored the institutionalized spying of the East German Stasi. In this scene, the main character, a famous East German playwright, sits in a research room after the fall of the Berlin Wall, leafing through his own surveillance files. As he turns the pages, the playwright comes to see himself not as a human being, but as a case, codenamed Laszlo, and there is pain but not surprise in his face as he reads how his lover, before she committed suicide, was forced repeatedly to betray him.
Bei dem Besuch handelt es sich Paul Hausers Onkel aus West-Berlin.
Critics say The Lives of Others is a compelling glimpse into the way a repressive spying apparatus, over time, eats away at the social fabric holding a community together. Saad Iskander says this is what happened to Iraq. Yes, he says, it was naive of America to believe its soldiers would be welcomed by Iraqis instantly ready to build a democratic society. and the reasons why are buried in the spy files.
So the collapse of the regimes, it was not a political collapse, it was a social collapse as well. The invasion just opened the gate for all of the bad phenomena that took roots under Saddam Hussein.
There is considerable debate, both inside and outside of Iraq, about what to do with the spy archives. Many were collected by the Iraq Memory Foundation, a U.S.-funded project dedicated to helping Iraqis come to terms with the atrocities committed under Saddam. The foundation turned the files over to the Hoover Institution at Stanford University to be digitized. The U.S. government, which under President Bush initially took a keen interest in the Ba'ath Party files, is now adopting a hands-off approach. Philip Frayne is a spokesman for the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad.
This should be the subject of discussion between Hoover and the Iraqi Memory Foundation and the Iraqi government. In other words, they're in the custody of the Hoover Institution right now, not in the custody of the U.S. government.
But what would it mean for a still-struggling Iraqi society if the secret police files were suddenly revealed? For the Memory Foundation, those files can be a powerful tool for reconciliation and healing if they're handled properly. The Foundation's Hassan Manene, in a 2005 NPR interview, said other countries have taken a variety of approaches, some of which he views as extreme, such as South Africa's Truth and Reconciliation Commission.
This is an extreme model where basically victim and perpetrator face each other. Another extreme model, far closer to Iraq, is the Lebanese model. A traumatic civil war ends, a page is turned as if nothing has actually happened. This is a model almost of denial. Between these two extremes, we believe, Iraqi society is going to try to find its level of comfort. And our role is clearly to advocate for one that is more towards openness.
But put that same question to Iraqis who were victims of Saddam's spying regime, like Riyad al-Rubai, and you get a very different answer. When asked whatever happened to the Ba'athist who used to spy on Rubai's neighborhood, he calmly slides a finger across his throat. He says this is not Germany, and Iraq isn't ready to have decades of betrayal revealed all at once.
For us Iraqis, our tribal nature is still prevailing. Our democracy is too new. There would be killing in the streets.
Given the issues of preservation and politics still to be worked through, Iraqis are likely to have quite a bit of time before they know if and when the spy files will return. Then Iskander may find out if the information Saddam used to wound a nation can also help to heal it. Peter Kenyon, NPR News.